You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
But we've got a two-point game with 2 minutes to go. Thornwell inside off the glass. Tough shot. And the foul.
Here comes the high screen set by Thornwell. Now he's got the ball. Four to shoot. Thornwell's going to have to put one up. He does. It hits. Sindarius Thornwell. And timeout called for by South Carolina.
All you want to do if you're South Carolina is don't foul.
Don't foul. Morris to DeJon Jones. 3 seconds left. Forces up a three. Short, and that'll do it. A signature win for South Carolina. They win it 64-60 over Iowa State.
Happy New Year, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed, episode number 75. TRC is the Rubber Chickens, and we have a website, therubberchickensblog.com. We're also on Twitter at Rubber Chickens, R-U-B-R Chickens. We're on Vine, Instagram, Facebook. My name's Buck, and as we enter into 2015, I'm glad to still be joined by my colleagues T-Bone, who is the proprietor of firewhammy.com and the president of the Lorenzo Ward fan club, the G-Man.
You know, it's always so funny to listen to you do the intro because you come across as this likable, approachable everyman, and we all know that you're like this misanthropic, complete jerk.
Right. It's just, you know, completely out. Well, that's what I'm like, the Chris Berman of Gamecock podcasts, you know.
You both got a similar weight issue. So.
Actually, I can't stand, I just hate Chris Berman so bad. Just so much. But anyway, Happy New Year's. You guys make any New Year's resolutions?
Less podcasting.
No. Less podcasting. Well, you're not. You're getting off to a bad start.
I've already failed.
G-Man, how about you? Work less, party more?
Work less, get in shape. Better shape.
Yeah.
More tennis. You've gotten off to a bad start on the tennis season.
Yeah, I lost my first match. I actually had a lesson tonight, which was a step in the right direction. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm going to get better at tennis. I'm going to work out a little bit more, try to work less, you know, all the usuals.
Yeah. I hit the scales today. I gained 7 pounds in 3 weeks.
Wow.
7 pounds in 3 weeks.
Are you gonna give it? You gonna give us the number?
Yeah, I was at 210, and I weighed in today at a healthy 217.
Wow. So, might want to mix in a salad.
Man, I fought so hard to get to that. I was so proud of that 210 number, and man, I just blew it over the holidays. It's just, you know, got to stick with the light beer, I guess. I don't know what it is.
I hear you.
Or maybe no beer at all.
But, right, that might be a good move.
Yeah. So tonight we're going to finish up our discussions about the football program, because kind of behind the scenes, it just keeps going on. So we're going to try to come to some resolution, some peaceful accord here that we can all agree to, either agree or agree to disagree and still be friends, right? Okay, so let's go straight to the Twitter questions. Layla asked us two Twitter questions. The first one was, if the moon was made of cheese, would you eat it? Which caused me to go to YouTube and watch Will Ferrell do his Harry Carey. Hey! It was just hilarious. And it's a simple question. Answer yes or no, and let's move on.
The answer is yes.
But then she followed up with a real question. But really, do you expect any coaching changes to the football staff? And G-Man, I'm going to throw it to you first. Do you expect any changes? Should there be any changes to the staff?
Should there be, or and will there be? I mean, I think both are difficult questions to answer. I mean, should there be? I mean, you know, we know we were all not too terribly pleased with the performance of the defense. There's a lot of people who complain about the running backs coach. There was a lot of people who complained about the special teams coach. I mean, yeah, we do have a lot of experts in the Gamecock fandom who believe they know that we should get rid of these coaches and replace them with other coaches. You know, I have a hard time personally evaluating the coaches based on my, you know, my what I would call limited knowledge of football coaching. But, I mean, should we have a change or two? I mean, it probably wouldn't be bad to shake up things a little bit. We typically have a change or two every year. I think it might not be a bad idea. But I'm not a believer in wholesale changes to a football staff just because you didn't meet expectations quite as much as you hoped you would. I mean, just last year, I mean, the same coaching staff led us to an 11-2 record and a number 4 national ranking just 1 year ago. So, you know, and this year we went 7-6. We'd like to have gone, you know, I don't know, 10-3. But we didn't. We lost some games. We had a lot of personnel losses. And, you know, I'm just not a real believer in just ripping up everything after one disappointing year. But we did. It's not like we went 4-8 like Georgia did a couple years ago, you know? Yeah.
So T-Bone, I'll give you a chance to counter here. We've seen, since the season ended, we've seen Muschamp to Auburn, John Chavis today to Texas A&M or yesterday, and Gene Chizik to North Carolina. People are shaking and baking, making moves. You know, Auburn had statistically a really bad defense. Texas A&M had a really bad defense. UNC had an awful defense. What do you think about the South Carolina staff, particularly the defense?
Well, part of the problem here is the complete lack of catharsis. We screamed and hollered at our television sets all fall, and I think that's part of the reason we wanted Muschamp. We wanted to hire somebody to do the screaming and hollering for us. But
hang on, I'm Googling catharsis. How do you spell that? No. All right. Go ahead.
We don't feel good like we wanted to feel good. But I think in the end, there's got to be a plan in place. There's no way that we're going to go back with the exact same staff. I mean, I'm not any more of an expert than G-Man is, you know, by a long shot. But there's no way we're going to make no changes. I think it's the same old situation that we had with, you know, with John Hunt, with different coaches that we've had, where Spurrier really likes to give him a shot to find another job. He did it with Tyrone Nix as well. And I think we may see that play out in the coming week. They've got the big coaches convention when a lot of them shop around for jobs. And so we might see a linebackers coach float away or a special teams coach float away with a new opportunity, and we'll have some changes. It's not going to be the big name, obviously, that we had all hoped it would be, but I think there will be changes, and I think changes need to be made.
But let me say this, though. I mean, you know, a lot of people are clamoring, really upset that we haven't made some big change. We didn't hire Muschamp. We didn't hire Chavis. We didn't hire Chizik, which I don't think is a big name. But anyway, you know, and all these people are saying, I can't believe Spurrier's sitting around. He's not doing anything. Spurrier's just sitting around letting everybody make all these moves. Well, two things. How do you know that Spurrier hasn't been working on some moves behind the scenes?
See, none of us
know what's going on. You know, we like to think we know because we read, you know, message boards and Twitter, and we listen to these insiders spout off about what they know, but we don't know. Spurrier may have gone after Muschamp really, really hard and not gotten him. Okay? He may have really, really tried. I mean, we're not going to know. We're never going to know the answer to that. He may have tried to get some other unnamed coaches that we don't know about that didn't pan out for whatever reason. So, you know, I think all this anger or disdain for Spurrier for sitting around doing nothing is just the fans just spouting off because they're frustrated. We don't know what he's working on. We don't know what he's got in the works. He may have some stuff in the works that's going to excite people in a few days or a few weeks. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, but that's kind of what I think as well. I mean, I think if anybody's got disdain for Spurrier, they hadn't been a Gamecock fan for really long.
I got one interesting stat I wanted to just make sure the people out there were aware of. I looked this up today. Spurrier is in college. He is 226-85. That is a 725 winning percentage. Okay, in South Carolina, we have not had a losing season under Spurrier. Okay, we have won or been even every year since he's been here, I think I saw this somewhere on one of the message boards of the day. We're the only school in the SEC, with the exception of LSU, we've gone longer than anybody else without having a losing season, with the exception of LSU in the entire SEC. Okay, they had a losing season in 99. We had one in 2003, no other teams can match that. So, you know, Spurrier has 226 wins and 85 losses. I think the guy has a fair idea of what he's doing out there coaching this thing called college football. And last time I checked, I could be wrong about this, but I think the cumulative win total of all the Gamecock fans out there who pull for us as college football coaches is probably zero.
Do I get to count my youth football coaching?
No.
No. Well, my win percentage is not very good anyway. So actually, it's well below 500. So let me kind of.
But see, let me weigh in with one way that I still kind of disagree with the G-man, because what he's saying here is the guy knows what he's doing. You know, it's a modern day version of Trust Lou, and I trust the guy. I do. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't believe that signing up for the tickets or signing up for the fandom means you have to check your opinion at the door. It's not an on-off switch. You can't
I'm not saying you're not supposed to be a fan in question. I'm just saying that there's been a lot of folks who basically have said he's got to go. You know, he's lost it. I can't believe he hasn't made a move. This is ridiculous. We're letting everybody beat us to the punch. I mean, they've hired Muschamp for heaven's sake. Well, you know, Chavis actually called us looking for a job, and we turned him down, turned him away. Well, you know, I just don't think that that's fair to say that Spurrier has lost it. I mean, I think we can criticize. I think we can say, well, hey, you know, we wish, you know, there was some positive movement here. But remember, I mean, we had a pretty good football team for a long time. We went 11-2 for 3 years in a row with pretty much this exact same coaching staff, with one or two exceptions. So it's not like these guys suddenly forgot how to coach. I mean, we have some major personnel problems this year on defense. Let's don't forget that. I mean, that's a big, big reason why we were 7-6.
So, by the way, speaking of this Chavis thing, I think if you read the NOLA.com article, what TBS did today, the Big Spur, our friends over at the Big Spur, it was a little misleading. The headline and the story was that, you know, it really made it sound like Chavis really wanted to come here and we rebuffed him. But if you read the NOLA.com story, it basically says he went where the money was ultimately. Yeah, he may have inquired about a defensive position here, about defensive coordinator, but what's Texas A&M paying him? 1.6, 1.7, somewhere around it? We're not paying a defensive coordinator that much money.
And I don't think we can. I mean, you know, I think they got unlimited resources out there.
Pretty much, yeah. So I get where you're coming from. There is a frustrating lunatic fringe out there that wants to fire Spurrier and get rid of him, and he's senile and he's old and he doesn't know what he's doing and he's lazy and he's playing golf and going to the beach and blah, 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 blah. You're right. Spurrier is one of the great coaches in the history of college football. But we've seen enough, from his game management to you know, to this situation with the defensive staff, I don't think he's above reproach. I think it is okay to question, and it's frustrating. And I'm not saying we should have hired John Chavis. I'm not saying we should have hired Gene Chizik. I'm not saying we should have hired Will Muschamp. It depends on, like you're saying, who knows what that situation is. I think the frustration from the fan base is coming from no action whatsoever. It doesn't appear, you know.
No action that you know of.
Yeah, but I mean, the way Spurrier's talking, he doesn't indicate that he has a plan in place.
Yeah, but people love a plan. You think he's going to tell us? You think he's going to go, well, guys, you know, I think I'm going to fire Whammy and Brown.
But as long as nothing is happening, I think it's reasonable to be a little anxious about that, because we came off one of the statistically worst defensive performances that we've had in, you know, who knows how long.
Right, right. But I think that we're a little different from some teams. And I touched on this, I think, in some messages to you guys, or maybe in one of my posts. I can't remember. But I think we're a little different than, say, Auburn. You know, when they can fire their coach, and it's not really going to hurt them that much from a recruiting standpoint. I mean, they're a brand. I mean, Georgia's a brand. There's about 17, 18 brands in college football, and we're not one of them. We depend on relationships, and we may not like the fact that we got to keep some of these coaches because they have recruiting relationships, but the fact is that they do. And you know, it's sort of a necessary evil in the college game. The coach may not be able to coach his way out of a paper bag, but he might have some good relationships with some guys that we think we better hold on to, and that could be a consideration here that folks may be overlooking. Yep. You got to have players.
Yeah, I mean, we're nowhere near being Alabama, Auburn, you know, even Georgia. As much as we're hanging tough with Georgia recruits that state. They get every top player, not every top player out of Georgia, but they get so many great football players. We don't have that kind of reputation. This goes back to what I said on the last podcast. We're Steve Spurrier University right now. That's why people are coming to play football for us. But he has built this program up, you know, 33-6 over the three seasons before this past season. There's expectations. And there are expectations while Spurrier is here that he's going to keep that up. So I'm with you. I am not, you know, pulling my fingernails out because he hasn't made any moves yet. But I'm still a little anxious. And I think I think that's where T-Bone is too. Is just a little anxious. Well, besides T-Bone just hating Ward. You know.
Well, let me say this too, though. I mean, sometimes change can be a bad thing. You know, everybody's assuming that we go make a change, we go hire some coach, and it's suddenly going to make us a lot better. Yeah. I mean, do we really know that? I mean, there's all these guys now. Yeah, I was reading on the internet the other day. All these guys. I mean, I don't know what Botkin has done to some of the fan base, but people hate the guy. You know, they hate this guy. I mean,
Botkin and Deke Adams.
I'm trying to figure out why they hate him so much. I mean, I just can't quite. I mean, what has he done to get this, you know, just reaction from the fan base? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know it's just one game, but the best two defenders on the field in the bowl game were Sky Moore and Walton.
Right.
Both of whom play linebacker. You know, so I mean, somebody's coaching those guys. I know they had a rough year in the Kentucky game and some other games, but you know, I just think it's a little bit unfair to crucify these guys over some of this stuff.
Yeah. Anyway. T-Bone, are you still there? You've been awfully quiet.
Yeah, just looking over some of our Twitter questions.
Well, let's hit. There's a couple more football questions out there, aren't there?
Yeah, and this one seems like it's right on point. An ominous squeaky door.
Has somebody exiting the room. Sorry.
Okay. From Bradford Moore, he says, which would you take, new defensive coordinator or men's NCAA tournament berth? And there's a follow-up part to this question.
NCAA tournament berth.
What about you,
Jim? Oh, I definitely agree with that. NCAA tournament berth, yeah.
Follow up part, men's tourney berth or women's national title?
Women's national title.
Yeah, you only get a chance to be the national champions every so often. You got to grab that.
Yeah, if we make the NCAA tournament, we're still probably out after the first weekend. So I would love to see the women make a run to a national title. And who was that question from?
That was from Bradford Moore, at Bradford Moore 1.
All right.
So by the transitive property, y'all would rather have a women's national title in basketball than a new defensive coordinator.
Yes, I would say that's true.
Just weighing in. Another football question from Kunal Das at Q-N-A-L.
I think he pronounces it Q-N-A-L, actually.
Does he?
I think, maybe.
I don't know. Good Twitter follow. Who besides Pharaoh do we have next year that can catch?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we're going to find out in the spring and find out next fall. There's nobody reliable. I mean, who are the two leading returning receivers behind Pharaoh are Shamir Jeffrey and KJ Brent. Is that right? Didn't I read that somewhere?
Yeah.
The top two wide receivers.
You got Adams, who is somewhat proven, but I think you got to have a whole new core out there, receiving core with, what is his name, Shaq Davidson and Debo Samuel and Terry Guger and all the freshmen coming in. I mean, it's going to be. I mean, guys, y'all want to think about something that's really going to upset the Gamecock fan base. I think next year, the defense may have to carry the offense for a while. You know,
yeah,
and that's kind of scary. But I think on paper, we're looking better on defense going into the season than we are on offense right now.
Well, that kind of leads into a next question. Jorge Brosada, George, as we know him. Real question, current feeling towards next year's defense, player personnel-wise, excited, intrigued, scared? I would say a pretty healthy combination of all three of those things.
Right, right.
Because if we can get the guys in school that we have committed, I think we could have a pretty salty defense. But I read today this Damon Arnett kid down in Florida is taking like three more visits in January, and it looks more and more like Mark Fields is gone forever. I think his top two now are Clemson and Texas. I don't know.
It's all about the D-line, man. To me, it's all about the D-line. I mean, and look at all the years we were really good on defense. We were really good on the D-line. I mean, Clowney, obviously, but, you just think about the guys we had, Robertson, Cliff Matthews, Melvin Ingram. I mean, the list goes on and on. And this year, we just didn't have the horses, and it really showed. 12 sacks on the season. If we can get some of those guys in that we have committed, some of these other guys in, and we get better on the defensive line, it's going to make us all feel a whole lot better. It covers up deficiencies in the secondary because you can sack the quarterback occasionally. I mean, it's going to make us better. And, right. I mean, the D-line is what separates good defenses from bad defenses. Look at the SEC over the years. Alabama, LSU, Georgia. What do they all have in common when they're good on defense? They have hosses up front. This year, we didn't have it. We had, what, English running around at 215 pounds trying to tackle people?
Right.
I mean, it's just not good. And, we get those guys in, we're going to be a lot better on defense, I think. The secondary is still troublesome, especially at safety next year. I'm a little nervous about safety.
Q-Nile sent us another question. Given that Arkansas is on the rise of late, would you prefer them as a permanent opponent? Not looking forward to playing Texas A&M next year.
Yeah, I don't want to play any of them.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Any team that rotates on our schedule suddenly is a world beater, and when they rotate off, they tank. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think Arkansas might have steamrolled us this year. And Texas A&M they're loading up with talent. Although they've had a tough little recruiting stretch here. Texas has beat them for a couple of guys, and they've had some decommits. And so I don't know. That'll be tough playing in front of the 250,000 people or however many their stadium's going to hold next year.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Any more football questions there, T-Bone? I'm scrolling through.
I think that's the last of the football questions. There's some good basketball questions.
Well, before we leave football, do we want to talk about the Duck Bowl at all? Any thoughts, any comments about our last game, or are we just going to move on by?
Didn't we podcast after that game?
No.
Did we not, really?
No.
Wow.
Did not.
I guess we podcast before the game.
We did. Did not podcast.
Yeah, no, I guess. Good win. I don't know what else to say.
I just thought we would give a shout out to a couple guys. I mean, especially Dylan Thompson. You know, he's done. He's finished. You know, he had a lot of people who I think are never really going to appreciate what he was, what he did for this football team. You know, he's not Connor Shaw. That's going to be his biggest failing as a quarterback, as he followed, you know, probably the best quarterback we ever had. But,
right.
You know, you got to take your hat off to Dylan. I mean, he had a great year, played great in that ball game, did what he had to do for us to win. And we're really, I think you said it before, Buck, you're really going to appreciate him next year when you realize he's not behind center anymore.
Right.
He was so calm. He was, you know, he had command of the offense from the beginning of the year. Think about this, too. Played all season. How many times did he leave the game injured?
Zero. None that I recall.
Zero. I love Connor, but, you know, Connor's always in and out of the lineup. I mean, Dylan was there, man. He's dependable. Had a solid season for us, and, you know, I'm going to miss that guy.
Man, that was the one touchdown where he threw back across his body to the middle of the field where you're screaming, oh, yeah. No. And that was a great play.
It was a great play. Great athletic play, too. Spun out of the pressure, hit the guy on the run. Yeah, I'm with you.
The throw to Pharaoh on the 78-yard touchdown was just a strike. I mean, that was a laser.
Yep.
Perfect pass. So, yeah, I really hope he makes an NFL roster next year, just because there's some certain people I want to laugh in their fat faces.
You know, before we move off of that.
Yeah, well, he's got the arm.
No, yeah, he's definitely got – his measurables are better than Shaw. I mean, he's 6'3", you know, got a better arm than Shaw. He just doesn't have that he didn't have the record that Shaw had, basically,
or the running ability.
Or the
escapability. But look at all your top-notch NFL quarterbacks, you know? I mean, your Brady's, your Mannings, I mean
– pocket guys.
Your Roethlisberger's. I mean, they're pocket passers for the most part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we cut off T-Bone. Sorry, T-Bone.
No, let's talk some basketball, guys. Aren't you excited about basketball?
I am. You know, big upset over Iowa State. We actually led in with some basketball highlights for the first time, maybe the first time ever, in our 75 podcasts. We led in with some basketball. So, yeah, man, what a fun win on Saturday. That was a great game to watch. Beating number 9 Iowa State, biggest win we've had since 2010 when we beat number 1 ranked Kentucky at home. Haven't had a win close to that I can recall in the last 4 years. So all of a sudden the expectations for this team have turned. You know, when we were, I guess, 2-3 coming out of Charleston with losses to Charlotte and to Akron. And Frank Martin was saying, you know, oh, we're this close, we're this close. I'm like, yeah, shut up, buddy. You know what? I mean, I was thinking this was just another wasted basketball season, and we just turned it up with a huge win over Oklahoma State, huge win over Clemson, and given the state of SEC basketball, aside from Kentucky, I don't see any reason we can't make a decent run through the conference slate.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the team's come a long way. The thing that's impressive about the team is maybe one of the things I was criticizing them about earlier in the year, or some of last year, is it seemed like kind of a team of role players. But if you know, looking at that on the positive, you've got a lot of guys that are sort of interchangeable parts who can come in. You got a lot of depth on this team, and they're not depending on any particular guy to carry them on any night. I mean, you got a lot of guys who can contribute and score some points for you now that Notice has stepped up, and Dodd Johnson played really well the other night, and Thornwell's not having to carry the load, which is nice. And then you got a rotation of four or five guys inside that are rebounding and playing defense. So
how big was having a guy that we didn't think we were going to have, having Shamik Shepherd be able to come in and give us minutes on Saturday, and quality minutes with the foul trouble that we had, man. Yeah. I'm not sure we'd have won that game without him.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this fits right in with a couple of our Twitter questions. Jeb Benson at Jeb Benson and Chris Egan at NJ Gamecock.
NJ_Gamecock.
They both basically ask the same question, and that is, what's the floor and what's the ceiling of this team?
Wow. you know, if we can stay away from, you know, we're gonna have some bad nights in the SEC. You go on the road in the SEC, there's some, you know, Arkansas, LSU, there's some tough teams that you might feel like are a win, that you're gonna drop some games throughout the slate. What do we play, 20 games now? SEC games?
Something like that. It's a lot.
Maybe it's 18. I think it's 18, actually. So I don't know. I thought going into the season 500 was a reasonable expectation, but now given our run over the last, seven, eight games in a row, I don't know. Can we finish 13-5? I mean, I haven't gone game by game. 12-6.
Yeah, I don't see 13 wins. I mean, you know, 10 would be great. I think you're going to have some nights when, you know, we're not a great shooting team. We got to win with defense and grit and rebounding and all that stuff. You're going to have some nights when we don't put it in the basket. And especially on the road, I think you're going to suffer some games like that. So if this team can win 10, 11, 12 games in the conference, that would be absolutely huge, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to. Like I put in one of my articles on the one of my posts on the website. It's getting late. I would love to be sitting around on Selection Sunday, and with even the possibility that we might sneak in as an 11 seed or a 12 seed or something like that. It would be just so exciting to have that possibility hanging out there, because it hasn't even been close for years and years. So,
yep.
Looking forward to that.
Are we going to do Jorge's question, or do we not do Jorge's question?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you want to read it?
Let me find it. Yeah. Quick, you're on an elevator with Frank Martin and he just farted. Do you call him out, claim it as your own and apologize, or say nothing? Well, if I'm on an elevator with Frank Martin, I'm going to talk to him. But I'm probably not going to say anything about the fart. I'm certainly not going to claim it if he knows he did it, you know, or if we both know he did it. But I'm not going to call him out. I'm not going to call that guy out.
I don't know. I don't enjoy gas humor.
You don't?
No, I do not enjoy it at
all. Are you a male human being or not?
I've never enjoyed that. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
It makes me uncomfortable.
I ain't never heard a fart that wasn't funny.
That's Buck's pastime. That's his hobby. That's his number one hobby.
That's why the best thing in the world for our friendship is about 200 miles of road.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this though. I'm not doing anything that might remotely piss Frank Martin off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you guys are. I'm yes, Mr. Martin. Yes, sir, Mr. Martin.
He'll get in your face. Well, remember, I met him, took a picture with him. He's not as big as he looks on TV. He's not
as tall as he looks on TV. He's pretty big.
Yeah, he's kind of big. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Did we have it? You know, we did miss a football question. Anyway, thanks. Sometimes we get a few questions. We always get good questions. We got a lot of questions tonight, so thanks for everybody for submitting. And we missed a football question from Feathered Warrior. Man, I can't believe we missed that. Feathered Warrior, at Feathered Warrior, our friend with the Half-Cocked podcast. And also, I don't know if he's still writing over at Garnet and Black Attack or not. I don't think I've seen his... seen any of his writings in quite a while, but he says, "Who wins the SEC East next year?" And we're talking about football again. Who's going to hazard a guess?
Tennessee. There's no stopping them.
God, that's what I was thinking too. That's depressing. I was thinking either Tennessee or Georgia
or Missouri because I'm
thinking that Nick Chubb is for real. You know, yeah. I mean this. If they get some good quarterback play at Georgia, I mean, Chubb's he's going to run for 2,000 yards if he can stay healthy. Yeah. That guy he's the real deal. He could be better than Gurley.
Yeah, he's dadgum impressive, man. He had quite a year, and he was a Gamecock lean till Georgia came calling.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a Georgia native. It's hard to get those guys out of Georgia. Yeah. I mean, and you know, that's a whole other story. We talked about, you know, is getting those guys in your home state that are super studs, and the state of South Carolina just isn't producing them right now. I mean, let's hope they do. I mean, we did get that nice commitment from the quarterback, the Gamecock legacy quarterback out of Pennsylvania.
McElwain. I
mean, yeah, you know, hope we can hold on to him, obviously. That's a long way away, but that's the kind of player that we have to get.
Yeah, he looks like exactly the kind of kid we need to come play football for us right away. Yeah. we gotta wait.
Yeah, he's like, can you start next year?
Right. Yeah, we know you're only 15, but how about come play football for us? All right, guys. Well, that'll do it. First podcast of 2015. Little uneven performance, I would say. I would give us a.
Yeah, you can really do better if you try.
I'll just give us an A instead of our typical A+ job.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, again, thanks for all the Twitter questions. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed TRC Unleashed episode number 75, and we'll talk to you soon. To show how much you mean to me. And I